Have you played Dungeons and Dragons or any other sort of a role-playing game
When I
before?
was very young, it's been many, many, many years. So I understand the basics, but I'm not a D&D guy.
You knew people who
I think
play?
my mother, would have come unglued had she found I was playing D&D at the time of my life. I was already giving her enough gray hair that it would put her over the top. But I had a good group of buddies that got into it when we were freshmen in high school, and lunch hour in the library was D&D time.
Nice.
I was mostly, big surprise, interested in the art and the books. So while the guys
Yeah.
played, I thumbed through the manuals.
Yeah. So you've got the form.
Let's get started.
I do.
Yeah. The first part is your name, and we let people put in a character name if they want, a nickname if they want, or just write down their name if they want. What are you gonna do?
I would say, two words, digital cowboy.
You do all your work digitally?
These days, yes. And the industries that I've worked in is so highly competitive now that you've got to be fast. So the days of hand drawing are few.
We're going to move on to what we call section one of the character sheet, which is your motto.
Okay.
We're going to roll a D4 for you. It's this little
Yep.
It's a pyramid.
Pyramid kind of looking thing.
So we rolled a D. Oh my
And then
God.
you get a
You get a
four.
four.
And fours.
And what we're going to ask you to do is come up with your four-word motto. And while you're doing that, we're going to do a little intro. Welcome, everybody. This is The Artist Rolls, a new perspective on creators and creating. I'm Sean Mitchell.
I'm Jamie Gower, and today we are happy to be talking with Kurt Little, a very talented art director. Kurt and I worked, I was a producing content for a video game that Kurt was the art director on. So we worked together on a series of videos.
All right, Kurt, so did you come up with a motto?
I have four words.
You do.
Yes, the first is honesty, courage, passion, and detail.
Honesty most important since it comes first.
Yes. I've found I'm happier when I'm honest. Honest with myself, honest with my family, honest with my coworkers, honest with my fellow men. So yeah, that's why the first one would be honesty.
And then courage.
Courage, I think it takes a lot of courage to be honest. I think that it's too easy for us to create this facade of who we are. And I've learned the older I get and the more experience I get, especially in this industry, is you have to be courageous to be fresh in the industry, to create content that's fresh. It takes courage. And then the honesty rolls back into it. It just the approach needs to be honest. So
And then passion.
passion, you gotta the average lifespan in this industry, at least in the games industry, the video game industry, is 5 years according to
Oh, really?
some of the
Wow.
respected industry websites out there. In order to get through those rough times, you've got to keep that fire lit and continue to be passionate. Find ways to be passionate about your work day to day.
Yeah. And lastly was detail.
I'm extremely detail oriented. When I was art director and art director on Madden Football for Electronic Arts, one of the things that was really, really important to me was that we got the physiques correct. So we actually had, I actually worked with the producers and some of the clothing manufacturers, equipment manufacturers, to ship us the equipment that these players wear. And then we had the artists dress up in this gear. I mean, my office looked like a sporting goods store for a long time. Cleats and pads and jerseys, but it was really critical to me as an art director to get it right. And I think it made a difference for the art that was produced by these guys once they put the gear on and they felt how heavy a helmet is and what it felt like to wear shoulder pads, and then what it did to the silhouette of the character when you're in full gear. I think it also helped animation plan for how to make that character move in a convincing way.
Hey, let's move on to section two of our character sheet, which is the roles roll. We're going to
Okay.
roll a D8 and a D10 for you.
I think part of our impetus for this was we're just fascinated by the dice. You rolled a nine.
Yep.
We ask you to divide these 9 points among those roles you see there. Studio artist, performer, writer, director, producer.
Ooh, I'm torn. Okay. So
tell us your tornness.
So as I keep changing my mind about a few things because I'm on any given day, it seems like I'm doing one of these or front loading and one, and I've got a little bit of another. So, okay. So I'm going to give studio artist a 4,
mm-hmm.
Performer a 1, writer a 1, producer a 1.
4, 5, 6, 7, 2 left.
I'll give the 2 to director. Let's do that.
Okay.
Which is the irony there is that I am an art director by trade. Maybe I'll explain why studio artist gets the highest score.
Yeah, that was my question.
When I'm working with the production team, the folks that are in the trenches every day, I think it's important that those who are directing that effort can relate, can collaborate, can discuss, can interface one-to-one, understand what they're facing, the challenges both technically and artistically. So in short, I don't like to direct from the Great White Throne or through email or whatever. I really like to sit or stand at the whiteboard and really get into the nuts and bolts of the whole creative process. So I think that's why I score myself higher as a studio artist, because I pride myself as being an art director who is in it every day, that's modeling, you know, 3D models, that's texturing, that's lighting, that's animating, so that when I'm leading a team, I understand what we're up against.
We're going to move on to section 3 of the character sheet. It is mediums. Again, we're going to roll that D10 and D8 for you.
Okay.
That is a
14. You now have 14 points to distribute among the mediums: live, video, audio, physical, and print web.
Where do people find your stuff? Where do they encounter you?
Okay.
How are you consumed, for want of a better word?
So how am I consumed? I think that's the bittersweet truth about being an art director is that you're not... You get blamed if the art in a product is terrible. It's your fault. You are recognized when a product is successful. But you're not necessarily, not all of us, but for me, my experience has been, I'd rather push the team forward and say, these are the rock stars. This is our lead character artist. This is our lead aircraft artist. This is our lead environment artist. Because they're really doing the heavy lifting.
Pulling you back, Kurt.
Okay.
We have a form that we have to fill out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So put some numbers down in there.
All right, let's do it.
You feel like you understand.
Greatest.
I like how you asked, how are you consumed? Because that really put it in context for me. Live is a 7 because we already talked about how to be an art director, you need to interact with the team. Video is a 2 because it is definitely key to communicating the vision. So we put together, as an art director and an art team, you put together what are called sizzle videos, which are high concept pieces to communicate the vision of the project to not only upper management to rally continued funding for the project, but also to help the team understand and visualize where we're going. Audio also gets a 2 because audio is key to any visual experience, in my opinion. Anybody... You know, watch a movie with the sound turned off, or, you know, go to a rock concert where, you know, lights and stage and the big performance with no audio. Physical, I think, Sean, what you're saying about, you know, can it be printed? Can it be viewed on a screen? You know, to me, at the end of the day, that's the product. So whether it's a game sitting on the shelf at GameStop or a DVD at some video store or whatever. It's a physical product that evolves from that process.
Sure.
And then print and web, for me, gets that 1 because at the end of the day, what goes out to that effort is typically marketing support. And by then, you've got lots of assets. If you've done it right, you've got lots of assets to give to your web team, to give to the print team so they can make their posters and trade show collateral, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay.
So there you go, 14 points.
Excellent. You have reached the midway point of this episode of The Artist Rolls. We'll be back in a minute with Kurt Little. To see graphics for Kurt's interview and all our interviews, you can go to theartistrolls.com. We're also available on iTunes, the Windows Store. We're on Twitter and Facebook. Fill out our contact form at theartistrolls.com. Thank you. We're back with Kurt Little, and we're going to move on to section 4 of our character sheet. That is style.
Yep.
You see a graph there with two axes from prepared to spontaneous and collaborative to solo.
I lean as I'm drawing on this thing. I am leaning toward collaborative. My wife would tell you that I am way more spontaneous and it drives her crazy than I am prepared. So maybe since collaborative is just kind of right in the middle, maybe we'll just.
Do you have different approaches depending on the role you're playing?
Yes.
Okay. So
that's what's been so cool about this so far, guys, is that you keep hitting, you know, like all of these different criteria, if you will, or mm-hmm. points, definitely hit on different days for me or mm-hmm. different stretches in a production pipeline. So mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, some days I'm completely focused on just being spontaneous at the whiteboard with a bunch of designers, and we're just brainstorming or mind mapping mm-hmm. and we're collaborating. And then once we figure out what we want to do, then it's preparing for that. I don't think that it's these days, there's not a whole lot of solo work, you know, just simply because of, I'm a commercial artist, I guess,
yeah.
a professional artist by trade, and that requires you to work as a team.
Yeah. Okay.
So
you could X out the solo part.
I think I will. Thanks, Sean. I think I'll just cross that out.
But you can also put, and you can put multiple points and just label them, because you had mentioned earlier that you felt that when you first approached the roles, you said mm-hmm. that shifted depending on what part of the project you were on. So it sounds like that's applying also here.
It is, which is fun because I'm glad that I'm not weird. This is actually normal for creatives to kind of wear many hats throughout the process.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's what I'm doing. I'm kind of taking three different approaches. There is solo crossed out and collaborative, leaning toward prepared, and then spontaneous. I'm not full on spontaneous, but definitely climbing.
Okay.
And I wonder if that spontaneous should be over on this side, so it's more
sure. Sure.
I've got from solo to personal mm-hmm. towards spontaneous. I'm going to live right here.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to collaboration and spontaneous, this is me as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This higher up on the spontaneous side.
Yep.
But toward collaborative.
So, yeah. What is the arrow? Is that significant?
The arrow was just, this is again on the professional. This uh-huh. is the collaborative, really, really strong and starting to swing down, you know, mm-hmm. toward prepared.
Okay.
Because I think I'm stronger in the collaboration.
Okay.
I want to go back to that arrow because I'm very interested in that. That's on the prepared collaborative side. Is that the phase when, you know, you guys have done the brainstorming and now you just got to go off and do your work?
I think that's what it is. The reason I used an arrow, I didn't even think about it really, except that it's just this driving.
Hmm.
Okay. So instead of just putting a mark, I literally drew a yeah. line. It's like, we are going this way.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize I did that until Jamie got me on it.
No, that's great.
No, that's fantastic.
We're going to move on to section 5 of our character sheet, which is superpower. We have 5 superpowers listed there. We have 3 columns. The 3 columns are the superpower that people think you have, the superpower that you think you have, and the superpower that you would like to have.
All right. So telepathy being the first, sensing thoughts and feelings. I don't think that I would say I have that. I'm going to put seem, on telepathy. So shapeshifter is a have. And I'll tell you why in a minute. And then the last column, want. Probably time control would be the one that I want. It looks like this. So I've got shapeshifter is definitely a have.
Okay.
And the one that I seem to have is telepathy, sensing thoughts and feelings. And then the one that I want is time control.
Okay. Tell us about the shapeshifter.
Shapeshifter. About every 10 years, I reinvent myself. And maybe now it's kind of aligned with the projects that I get assigned to. How about that?
Okay.
I definitely think that when I approach a project, I really take the deep dive on a project.
Mm-hmm.
When I was hired to art direct at Electronic Arts, for example, I was hired originally to help art direct the game Superman Returns. Mm-hmm. And, I hadn't read a Superman comic since I was a little kid. I knew the Superman franchise through the movies. That was it. So I'm driving in a moving van all the way to Orlando, Florida from Oregon, where I was living at the time. And I am just cramming everything I can about that IP into my head so that when I arrived, I'm ready to go. You know, I know the fiction. I know the whole backstory, blah, blah, blah. I get there. I complete my employee orientation, ready to charge into Superman. And they pull me aside and they're like, hey, one of the art directors is moving on to Pixar. We need you to jump onto Madden. Guys, I think I had watched a pro football game maybe once, and it was the Seahawks against Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl. And I was like, what? You want me to do football? You know, I'd gotten my head around superheroes and villains, and now I'm going to be art directing pro football. Needless to say, that night I went home and bought, got cable and got, ESPN, and I had ESPN running 24/7, just again, trying to immerse myself into the content. Jamie worked with me on a flight project, and same thing. I have always loved airplanes, but in order to really get into it, you just take the deep dive.
Yeah.
And for me, that means interviewing the people that love it and are passionate about it, finding out about the little details about aircraft and, just the whole thing.
Yeah.
Previous to that, when I was 20 years old, I grew up working for my grandpa on our dairy farm. And when I was 20, I decided I was done milking cows. And I moved to Nevada. I moved to Nevada, dropped out of college, moved to Nevada, and became a professional cowboy in the deserts, high deserts of Nevada.
Wow.
That's where the digital cowboy comes from.
Okay.
And I moved from ranch to ranch all over the West. And I'm not talking rodeo. I'm talking about, horses and cattle. We lived 60 miles from town. So we were out there ways.
Hmm.
Later, I was working in Wyoming. And one night I was riding home with the ranch owner, very well-to-do man. And he asked me what my future plans were. And I said, well, I'm going to have a ranch like this someday. And he started laughing. He was probably in his 50s at the time. And he said, do you have any idea what this ranch cost me? And I said, no. And he said, and he told me the figure. And he says, you're never going to own a place like this working for me.
Uh-huh.
So I hadn't gotten that cowboy thing out of my blood yet. But his words stayed in my mind.
Hmm.
So here I am living in the Nevada desert, working for a ranch. And I've got my computer and I've got the software. And every night I just pretended I was still in school. And so I continued my education, just feeding myself until I knew the software forward and back. And I was able to land my first job as a 3D modeler. And later, I got hired to do special effects and, 3D models for an animation company in Salt Lake City, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But originally, it was that point in my life where, okay, here's your life as a cowboy, here's your life as an artist, here's your life doing art direction for football.
I like going back to your motto and saying the thing that has allowed you to be the shapeshifter is taking that courage and that passion to new places.
Yes.
You're always prepared to do that. And I'm also interested in your take on time control.
Oh, I think everybody that's been on your show would agree with me. There's never enough time as a creative. I would love to be able to stop time, do my thing, and then spring it on you.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just never enough time. And every project I've ever been on, you find yourself wishing you had another couple of weeks to just tune it and tune it and tune it. You never have enough time.
How do you decide then in a real world when it's done?
Well, first of all, for creative, it's never done. It's never good enough. I can always tune it, make it better.
So is it just the deadline?
So it is that looming deadline. You know, for in the industry, we call it art lock. And that's where they lock the art director out and he can no longer submit assets to the build. So yeah, art lock. And, you know, after an art director gets locked out of the product, you know, he moves on to either the next, like in the case of Madden, once you're locked out and now we're just bug fixing, you're already thinking about the next year's product.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
The last discussion we have is about luck. We have some die rolls here. Some luck is associated with this character sheet. Not a ton. Do you believe in luck? Do you have a relationship of one sort or another with luck?
Well, my heritage is Irish. The red beard probably gives that away. So you bet. Yeah, I believe in luck. But I also believe that you create opportunity for yourself. There's a good bit of effort that you can do as a creative person to open up opportunity.
What did you do for that first job? How did you decide to go after that? The 3D modeling one.
I'll tell you, I'll let you know a little secret. My mother actually went with me to my first job interview. So it wasn't the first job, it was the second job. Uh-huh. And it was with a fairly big time studio at the time. And she drove down to Salt Lake City with me. Mm-hmm. At the time we were living in Northern Utah. And I dropped her off at the mall. And my mom, very, very well educated woman and has taught at the university level. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to get too excited about it because she wasn't sure that I was ready for that opportunity, you know, for that level yet. I think if she were here and you could ask her, but when I picked her up at the mall later that afternoon and told her that they had stopped me at the door as I was leaving the studio, this was following the series of interviews, and just offered me the job right there, I was stunned and she was stunned, you know. I don't think I've ever really looked back. I think you just charge into it. And I think it kind of goes back to just the courage and the passion. Mm-hmm. And you just go at it. And the times that I've been told no or it's not good enough, you just keep at it. Mm-hmm. You just keep hammering on it. So luck comes in there for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think it fills in the gap that up to that point you do the work. For example, you know, if you're an artist, how are you going to get a job when you don't have a portfolio? Are you just going to be lucky that your brother-in-law owns the company? You know, no, I mean, you put your portfolio together.
Yeah.
I had students that asked me last week at that speech, hey, you know, can you give me any points on a portfolio and, you know, mm-hmm. how that is valued, you know, in relation to my education here, that kind of thing. And my response was quickly and honestly was, your education has gotten you to this point. You know, the fact that you have put in the time at the school says something to me, but from here on out, it's your portfolio.
Yeah.
And if your portfolio doesn't say to me, I can do the job, I'm not going to hire you. It's as simple as that. So hard work and then luck fills in the gaps.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
I like that.
Yeah, that's well put.
So do you have anything you are plugging or anything that you want people to know in the audience?
Sure. So the project that I'm working on now, the project is called We Are Brothers. And I actually started the script when Jamie and I were working together at Microsoft. And I've been working on this for 3 years now. It was a bucket list item that I've had on my list for years. I've just wanted to come up with a story, an idea, put pen to paper, and then put the concept behind it and the concept art, and then pitch it. And that's the reason for these props that are hanging around the studio. Is I came up with the story, We're Brothers, and so I can't get into a lot of the detail just yet because we don't want to kind of ruin the big release.
Yeah.
But we've got some traction. We're looking at the Kickstarter stuff. We're looking at, you know, the crowdfunding. Originally, it was just a pet project. But as I've gotten more and more people in the industry around the project, they're like, hey, man, I think this thing's got legs. Let's see where it can go. The real luxury for me, though, is I don't have any hard deadlines other than those that I impose upon myself. So I don't have a studio saying, hey, you got to crank this out, you know. So it's this rare luxury as a creative.
How are you going to know when it's done?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're going to pull it out of my cold, dead hands. But anyway, so We Are Brothers. The only presence I have, I've got the URL locked down. It's wearebrothersmovie.com and We Are Brothers Project on Facebook.
Okay.
Would probably be where you're going to get, you know, most information.
Do you have any online portfolio stuff?
I do. It's, gosh, and I'm embarrassed. It needs to be updated. I've just been busy the last few years. It is Little Creations at .blogspot.com.
Okay.
You have to check that out.
Dad, do you still have the horses?
We sold the horses when we lived in Woodinville.
Oh.
It's funny. The timing was about the same time that you and I were finishing up Flight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was starting this We Are Brothers project, and I just could not, I couldn't see giving the horses the attention they needed to justify the expense. So we sold them, sold the trucks, sold the trailers. Mm. We are out of the horse business for now.
Okay.
So the Digital Cowboy is focused
on the digital.
On the digital. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Someday we'll get back there, but for now we've got other things.
Great.
Our guest today has been art director and many other things, Digital Cowboy, Kurt Little. Thanks for being here, Kurt.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's been great. A lot of fun.
Thanks a lot, Kurt.
Hey, listener, it's 2015.
But you knew that already.
A brand new year.
Okay, now he's just being repetitive.
And you know what that means.
It could mean anything.
It means more fun new interviews about creators and creating.
Okay, well, that makes perfect sense.
So if you know of a creator you'd like to hear on the show,
remember, he's talking to you.
Or if you are a creator you'd like to hear on the show,
the grammar's a little off there, but you get the point.
Let us know on our newly redesigned Talk to Us page on theartistrolls.com.
And thanks for listening.
Why are you whispering?
Well, it just seemed polite.